From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Hello, Phoenix. It's Billy, and this week on the Gay PHX Podcast, it's Christmas week. And wherever you are, however you celebrate, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a huge thank you for tuning in and spending part of your week with us. We've got a special all-day Christmas music block coming your way on the stream for Thursday, featuring holiday tracks submitted by artists from our own community. And if you haven't checked it out yet, music.gayphx.com keeps growing into exactly what it was meant to be, the place to discover artists, read their stories, and learn more about the artists you hear on the station every day. We're recording this week from Palm Springs. We're in the casita at Cat City. And yes, it's a working weekend. Deep into the code, long hours, so much so that everything is starting to look like ones and zeros. But even in work mode, we're reminded why all of this matters. Because we took a break to experience something genuinely powerful. A holiday performance by the Palm Springs Gay Men's Choir inside the newly renovated Plaza Theater. The Plaza Theater first opened its doors in 1936, standing as a centerpiece of Palm Springs culture for generations. After years of sitting dark, it's been brought back, not rewritten, not replaced, but restored with care, respect, and vision. And sitting in that space, surrounded by music from different cultures and traditions coming together for the holidays, you could feel what rebuilding can do. It was inspirational. It was motivational. And it was a reminder that revival is possible, even when something's been quiet for a long time. And honestly, that kind of hits at home. Because what we're doing back there, back at home, is building independent queer media, lifting voices, creating spaces where there wasn't one before. It's the same kind of work, building work, belief work, the kind of work that proves that community still matters. Huge thanks to Charlie and Brian for the invitation and the hospitality, and gratitude to everyone who helped bring that night and the space back to life. With that energy in mind, it's time to turn our attention to what's happening right now in our community. And later in the show, we're going to sit down with filmmaker and actor James Yaw for a powerful conversation about creativity, coming out later in life, and the courage it takes to finally tell your own story. But first, it's time to turn our attention to Brian's Hot 3, Brian's rundown of events, moments, and gatherings worthy of your time this week, where our community is showing up loud, proud, and connected. Take it away, Brian.
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 it's your Desert Den Daddy, Brian, checking in while Phoenix is actively choosing chaos and festive packaging. The holidays say be nice, the valley says pull up a chair. Closer? No, closer than that. This week, we're feeding our brains and our bad habits. We're spending Christmas exactly where chosen family hits hardest, and we're closing this week in robes, costumes, and just enough magic to excuse flirting with strangers. From the shadows of the radio towers, this is Brian's Hot 3, where glitter is weaponized, innuendo is foreplay, and I'll just stay for one, is a seasonal lie we tell ourselves every damn year. If you're bored, touch-starved, or itching to put on something cute and inappropriate, Daddy brought options. Let's unwrap them slowly. Hot pick number one, the hot chick, Nacho Average Trivia. Tuesday, December 23rd at 7 p.m. Brains on, phones down, drinks up. Nacho Average Trivia is your excuse to gather the crew, talk a little trash, and win groovy prizes while pretending this is about knowledge and not a competitive flirting. $2 tacos, $2 Coronas or Estrella, and happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. means nobody shows up sober, and that's exactly how trivia gets interesting. Come up for the questions, stay for the side eye, the confidence, and that one person who absolutely knows the answer and wants credit for it. Hot pick number 2, Pat O's Bunkhouse, a Christmas buffet. Thursday, December 25th from 2 to 5. No cooking, no fake smiles, no answering, so what are you doing now, for the 15th time. This is a Christmas dinner with your real family, the ones who know your drink orders, your exes, and exactly how much gravy it takes to keep you stable. Eat like you mean it, drink like you earned it, sit closer than necessary, and linger longer than planned. Because nothing says holiday spirit like being full, buzzed, and deeply relieved you came here instead. Hot pick number 3, Thunderbird Lounge, the Yule Ball. Saturday, December 27th at 7 p.m. Walk down Daikon Alley in your formal wear, robes, magic, and mischief. The Yule Ball turns Thunderbird into a full fantasy playground. Magical vendors, themed drinks, trivia, wizards' chests, costume contests, divination readings, DJs, and photo booths to document every questionable decision. Whether you come as a polished wizard, a chaotic spellcaster, or just someone who looks good in a robe, this is permission to flirt like it's enchanted and let the night unfold the way it wants to. Dress up, show out, cast spells responsibly. So Phoenix, that wraps up your hot three for the week. Before I slip back into the night, let me say this, thank you. Every listen, every share, every body in motion because of this little segment turns sound into connection and glitter into community. This isn't just a podcast, it's a pulse, a check-in, a knowing look across the room, a reminder that queer joy doesn't disappear just because the holidays get heavy. We do have you, and that heartbeat is louder than anything we could ever build. It carries this signal across kitchens, cars, bars, earbuds, and bedrooms all over the valley. And that's power. So stay safe, stay bold, stay hydrated because daddy worries, and stay just dangerous enough to remember you're alive. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, your Desert Den Daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GabePHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX podcast.
Buns are warm and the dogs are hot. The picnic dogs, the best they've got. Grab your pals, don't be late. And Roro row, dog, it's a tasty day. Roro dog, hey, serving smiles all day. Roro dog, whoa, tastes so good you'll wanna stay. From the grill to the groove, come join the crowd. And Roro row, dog, we're proud and loud. Yeah, it's Wiener Wednesday, come on down. Wieners all over town. Big buns, big fun. Bring your friends to play. You know it's Roro Dog all the way. Ayo.
This is what community sounds like.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about DoxyPep. Are you hooking up, living your best life? Keep it hot and healthy with DoxyPep, a little pill that helps protect you against STIs after sex. DoxyPep. Doxy is short for doxycycline, and PEP is an abbreviation of post-exposure prophylaxis, meaning taking a pill after sex. You've probably heard of PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis. That's taking meds before being exposed to HIV. But DoxyPep goes like this. Take one doxycycline dose soon after sex, for sure within 72 hours. This helps prevent bacterial infections such as syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea. If doxycycline sounds familiar to you, yes, it also treats STDs. Ask your provider if DoxyPep is right for you. And if your provider doesn't know about DoxyPep, inform them. Or find a provider that meets your full sexual health needs. Live your best life with DoxyPep.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person, with your tax year countdown. If you're considering an electric vehicle, check the VIN before you buy. Not every EV qualifies for the federal credit, and eligibility can change mid-year. Verify first so you don't miss out on thousands in credits. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX podcast.
Today's guest is someone you're going to want to know, an artist with a creative spark that draws you in, not just for what he does, but for how he does it. Authentic, curious, and unapologetically himself, this conversation is all about discovery, about what fuels creativity, what it takes to start again, and how stories shape the people who tell them. So lean in, settle back, and join me as we welcome to the rainbow tinted microphone, James Yaw. Howdy, James. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So when someone asks you what it is that you do and who you are, How do you introduce yourself?
Well, I like to introduce myself as a filmmaker first, but a gay filmmaker more importantly, if that makes any sense at all.
It does.
Because I think that our voice, the gay community's voice, needs to be heard. And more importantly than that, people in my age group, my demographic, because I'm in my mid-50s, and there's not much of a voice for those of us in our mid-50s who are trying to figure out where we fit. So that's who I like to think I am, is somebody that's trying to use my voice to help other people and myself figure out where we fit.
And what first drew you towards this kind of creative expression?
I was that theater geek kid in high school. My first role of any import was as the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz back in 1985, I believe it was. And I did stand-up comedy after college and all that stuff. And then life got in the way, and I put it all on a back burner for a very long time. I joined the military.
Oh.
I locked myself up in that societal closet.
Like a 180 turn there as far as going from art and creativity to military.
Yeah, and it's funny because I've got a film out right now, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I was hiding from who I was for decades, because growing up in the 80s and 90s, man, gay was a dirty word.
Right.
You know, to be a gay man was a death sentence, because
right.
with the whole AIDS pandemic and everything that was going on in those decades, you didn't want to admit that to anybody, even yourself.
Right.
So one of the safest places to be was the military at that point, because I didn't, I was pretending every day, but I knew who everybody else was too. It was a weird time.
I see the military as a...
I got out of the military.
Role that you have to play, so to speak. I see the military as a role that you have to play. You're trained to do and act a certain way while you're on premise, on base. Because I've seen my dad, how he's different on base versus how we're on the street. And so I can see that, because that mm-hmm. they tell you, this is how you should be. So you're like, okay, as long as I do this, then I'm accepted.
Yep. The military teaches you very well how to compartmentalize. This is how you are during the day, and this is how you are at night, and never the twain shall meet. And it's actually a really good training ground for how to stay in the closet, because you learn how to close that closet door every time you get up in the morning.
I never thought of it that way, and that's actually a brilliant thing. Oh, wow.
But so I got out of the military, and I was a little lost. Didn't know what the hell I was going to do with my life.
So how old are you at this
stage? Oh, this was only 12 years ago.
Okay.
So I was 42.
Okay.
43 probably when I got into the military.
And still closeted the whole time, because despite any changes happening around, don't ask, don't tell, or any of that stuff happening, were you around for that by that time, 12 years ago?
No.
Okay.
No, everything was new to me. But I was done hiding. I was just done. So I needed to find someplace new, somewhere new I could go. I didn't know anybody. I had no history, right?
Right.
And I ended up in Phoenix. And I had a very drunk conversation with myself one night. I basically told myself, if you're going to do this acting thing, it's now or never. What are you waiting for? And I woke up the next morning and started auditioning for everything I could get my hands on. And now here I am with, a couple dozen IMDb credits and a decent little theater career going up in Sedona, and I'm just having the time of my life.
Excellent. And let's talk about your latest project.
Okay. All right. So my latest short film that just got released is something called Falling from Straight and Narrow. And this is something, it's a film that wrote the screenplay. But originally, it was written as a stage performance. It was written as a monologue. I was invited by a theater person up in Sedona to participate in a production called The Awesome Difficult Work of Love. And that was a group of 7 or 8 people who had gone through some kind of personal journey. And it was our coming out through that journey. And we had to write it ourselves and then perform it on a stage, which was unbelievably cathartic for me. Because, yeah, I knew who I was and what I was trying to become and who I was trying to become. But to hear those words coming out of my mouth in front of 500 people,
right,
was pretty revealing.
That's got to be intense. I work in a little studio where no one is around. And I have lots of editing.
Yeah. It's funny because when you're on a stage, when you first walk out there and see the audience, you've got that little shot of nerve, a little shot of adrenaline. But then once you find the ability to go inside yourself, it all just goes away. And it's just you. And feels so cleansing to be able to stand on a stage with the spotlight on you at a point where you can't see anything but that spotlight. And you're just able to be so unbelievably honest, to the point, honest to a fault. And I got done doing that performance. And I thought, more people need to see this other than the few hundred people that saw it live. So I set about trying to rewrite it as a short film.
I see.
And I have the honor of working with a wonderful producer. He's in Avondale. His name is Angel Peavy. He runs a little production company called Broken Handle Productions. And I sent him my screenplay. And he was like, we're doing this now. And we did. We put it together pretty quickly, shot it in a weekend. And then it's on YouTube now. It's on YouTube as a private link right now because I'm not ready to. It's not going to be released generally yet.
Okay.
But I can give you the link and you can promote that link for us.
Okay.
So anybody that has the link is more than welcome to go check it out.
We would be more than happy to do that.
The only reason I'm not putting it out publicly is because we are working on the film festival circuit.
Okay.
And some of those film festivals have restrictions on whether or not it's released publicly.
Got it. Understood.
So as long as we keep it as a private link, it's not released publicly.
Understood. Yes, it does. Even if it's solicited publicly, it's okay.
But the film itself is basically my coming out story. And I came out late in life. I have the privilege of passing it straight. And I see this meme all the time on Facebook. If you've never had the Supreme Court tell you what rights you have, you're living in privilege. And anyone in the gay community that can pass it straight understands what that means. Because you don't get the stares, and you don't get the looks, and you don't get the judgment that people that don't pass it straight have to deal with. So I wrote it from that perspective. I wrote it as someone who has the ability to pass it straight, but doesn't necessarily want to anymore. I don't want to have to pass as straight to be accepted for who I am. And the film is set up as an interrogation between myself and this. We never even named the guy. It's like this kind of agent person who is questioning me and all of my life choices and all of the things that I do and why am I like the way I am. And I'm so proud of the way this film came out. No pun intended, but the way this film came out was, it's perfect. And I'm so proud of it, and I can't wait for more people to see it.
I certainly cannot wait to see it. And then I hope I'm allowed to review it, so to speak, on air. So I will do that. What's next for you when you produce something like this and you go help educate us on that film festival track?
Okay. This film is in the film festival circuit. We've got some very good buzz on a film festival in New Jersey that they're very optimistic about our film making it to the final screening. And we're just trying to get it into as many LGBTQ-focused film festivals as possible.
Okay.
While that's going on, I am also working on a feature film right now.
Oh.
With an amazing screenwriter, Mike Entity is his name. And he works out of Gilbert Chandler area out east. And he's written this amazing screenplay about this character named Barrett. And I play the title character. And Barrett is a gay man living in small town Arizona, basically just doing odd jobs for people. And he has a very difficult path because he was raised in a family of bigots. And when he was a young man, Barrett fell in love with a black man. And his family did not react well to the fact that not only is this person gay, but this person is gay and black. So there's all of this internal struggle. This film deals with family trauma, race relations, homophobia, body positivity. It deals with so many issues, and it does so in such a careful way that I never thought as a gay actor I'd get to play a hero, but I do. And I'm thrilled to be part of this film. We're filming now. It's scheduled to wrap filming sometime in January, February, and we're going to be releasing in the spring of 2026. There's going to be a pretty big premiere event that'll happen at the public theaters, probably in Tempe. And I want as many people that listen to this podcast as possible to come out to the premiere. It's going to be good.
Awesome.
And not only that, but maybe you could have us and the rest of the production crew on as a group chat at some point in the future before the premiere. That would be awesome.
That would be great. Yeah, I'm totally down for that.
But yeah, that's what's going on right now as far as my film work is concerned. That's taking up most of my time, but I also have a couple of plays that I'm working on in Sedona, a holiday show that's the first weekend of December, and then a show called Black Irish that's happening during Black History Month in February of 2026. So that's more to come on that.
Very cool. And how does community influence all this? It feels like you're a part of a film collective community. Are they all LGBT as well? Is there a mini community of the filmmakers that are LGBT that all kind of work together?
I wish it was more organized, but it's not. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this interview, is because I want it to become more organized. I want the LGBTQ community to support ourselves.
Right.
And want this to create buzz for not only Phoenix independent film community, because there is a pretty big independent film community in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
But it operates under the radar. But if you're part of the community, you know about it. But if you're not, you don't. And I hate that. And I want to use my connections within the LGBTQ community to help promote the film community and vice versa.
Excellent. Yeah, because we recently did an interview with Will Goldstein, who's producing Fit to be Tied, which I'm not sure what the status is of that, but I know they were working on that. So we had him on. But I didn't know that was all being filmed here and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not connected to it, but I'm definitely aware of it.
Oh, that's cool. That's good that you're, again, that whole, at least there's a community, there's some buzz within that. So now we just need to amplify that buzz so it gets out to mainstream.
There you go. That's what we want. That's why I'm here.
So now every creative path has twists and turns, and obviously yours is coming out late in life. But before, what were some of those experiences that you had before the self-acceptance, before the coming out, that were pushing you to want to be yourself, so to speak, as you were saying?
That's an excellent question. And getting out of the military, being in the military and then getting out of the military were two events in my life that, and of course, three combat tours and the mess of being in the military But those events in my life, and I'm sure you can relate to this, knowing what you've been through in recent times, when you go to when you deploy to a combat zone, you realize that if you haven't lived, you better get to living. Because
there's no guarantee you can get out.
Yeah. So I think going through the combat tours, two in Iraq and one in Kurdistan, it kind of woke me up inside, and it caused me to be a hell of a lot more authentic with who I am, because I realized that if I don't figure out who I am now, I may never get the chance. But you're still pigeonholed in the military. You have to be who you have to be in the military. You have to be that guy. Even after Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Right.
Even and after that went away.
To help the audience understand, being in the military is not like a job, because there is no off. There is no, you go home. Yes, you go home, but you're still military. When I go home from a day job, I'm not that at home. I'm home Billy. I'm not work Billy. But that's not something that happens in the military.
Exactly. And not only that, but if you live on post or on a military installation, you can't go to the grocery store without running into your boss.
Right.
You can't go to the barber shop without running into somebody from your job. So you're damn sure not going to walk around town with a big old rainbow flag on your car, because that's going to get you into trouble. And during the Don't Ask, Don't Tell days, if you did have a rainbow flag on your car, that was enough of a signal that they could kick you out of the military for that.
Because you were telling.
And right, because you're telling. You're literally telling. And now with the wonderful administration that is taking over the Pentagon now, we're not too far away from that coming back. So I'm glad I got...
That's pretty much already there. It's...
Yeah. It's gotten ridiculous, and I hate it, because I know so many people that I knew in the military who have since come out.
Right.
And it's like, even in the military, I didn't know that. You look at it and holy cow, you were too? And it's so sad that these people that are willing to literally lay down their lives.
Right.
Aren't able to be genuine. I hate that.
Right. And
sad.
Also, I would be remiss for not saying thank you for your service, not just in general, but especially on this Veterans Day that we're actually doing this interview. So thank you. I grew up a military dependent. I know what military people go through. At one point, I told my dad, oh, I'm going to join the military. He said, no, you're not. You're creative.
Oh, God bless your dad.
And I was like, okay.
That is one of the sweetest things I think a dad can say to a
son. Oh, yeah. It was the best advice ever. It really was. I understood, but didn't understand at the time. But ultimately, I understood. Deep down, I knew what he was saying.
I'm jealous. Because my relationship with my dad, God love him, I never came out to my dad. I never came out to either of my parents. Because I have 6 older sisters and a younger brother. And I was just trying to get my voice heard at home, let alone trying to be genuinely who I am. But I wasn't athletic. I wasn't that tough kid. If anybody knew anything back in the 80s and 90s, they would have known, hey, this guy's probably gay.
Right.
But I was hiding because I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to disappoint my dad. So when I joined the military, I asked him which branch he thought I should join. And he was a Marine. He spent 4 years in the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a sister who spent 24 years in the Marines.
Wow. Thank your family for the service.
More of a man than I am.
That's hilarious. I love that line.
But I love her to death. She's awesome. But when I asked him which branch I should join, he told me, you go in the Navy if you want to eat, because the Navy's got the best chow line. You go in the Air Force if you want to rest, because the Air Force has the easiest basic training. And you go in the Army if the Marine Corps won't take you. And I ended up in the Army. But I'm sure once he got over it, I'm sure she would have accepted me for who I really am. But unfortunately, he died before I had the opportunity to really figure me out.
Right.
So I never got to have that conversation with him.
Yeah, I had an interesting relationship with my father, not to make this about me, but my father, I thought he was more accepting than he was, just by the way he raised me.
Okay.
And I had this plan. He was, so my father, he came out of retirement after the Oklahoma City bombing. And so he was helping rebuild that office there, the FBI office. Okay. And office manager, not anything like major, office manager. And so I was there visiting him. And I was like, okay, my straight friend came down with me. And I was like, okay, I'm going to come out to my father and I'm going to let him know who I am. And on the TV was a Sally Jesse or Oprah or one of those. Oh, I've got a crush on my straight friend thing. I was like, oh, that's funny. And my dad came home and he's, oh, not this, BS, blah, 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 blah. And cursed up a storm. My dad does not swear. He had a bad day.
Oh, no.
And then he just went off about how this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, this is not the trip to tell him. And so I did
open the door of the closet.
So then I stayed closeted to him for probably another 20 years. And then I did eventually come out to him and he took it. Okay. I'll say I felt like I became more of a distant friend than I was a son after that. But
and
he set me on my path and
more experience with my sisters. Actually.
Oh, interesting.
Because I never officially came out to my sisters. I didn't have that conversation with, by the way, that never happened.
Mm.
But I kept getting tagged on Facebook by the same guy all the time. And they eventually started, I figured that they knew because he can't just be a roommate. We've been together for 14 years, right?
Right.
I eventually just started introducing him to them as my partner.
Mm-hmm.
So let them figure it out. But
they didn't question like business?
They've only two of them, I think, have met him in 14 years.
Oh, wow.
But a lot of that is because they live in New York and I live in Arizona. And it's just, logistically, it's been a pain in the ass.
That's a journey. And living in New York is just a job alone.
Yeah. See, but to make matters even worse, they live in upstate New York. They live out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, where it snows really bad.
So they're a little conservative.
I bet. I've heard that. Yeah.
So it's awkward. Lack of a better way to put it. Awkward.
So do you use that, like, before you step into a role or project, do you draw from any of these awkwardnesses? Do you draw from any of these experiences of having to not be yourself, but be yourself? How does that affect you as an actor?
Absolutely. I use that all the time. Anytime, every character you ever play has some sort of internal conflict. That's just what makes people interesting. Everybody has internal conflict. So one of the very first things you do when you're handed a role is you do character analysis and you figure out what is this person's internal conflict. And I don't care if it's somebody that's got three lines in the entire 3-hour film. You've got to bring some conflict to this guy to make him feel real. Okay, that's just all there is to it. So I will look at my own life. I'll look back on what it was like to be in the military and have to hide for 9-10 hours a day. I'll look at that feeling in the pit of my stomach every time I had to talk to one of my family members and they didn't know yet. And use that, because that feeling in the pit of your stomach is fuel when the camera's rolling. Because if you've got a conflicted character that you're trying to play, and this is a scene where that has to be obvious or at least evident, you want to remember that feeling. And I use that a lot. I use that a lot in especially in the role I'm doing now in Barrett, because Barrett is one conflicted guy. I have been able to draw from a lot of personal experience in bringing that character to life.
That's excellent. And finally, how can listeners follow along and see what's next for you? You want them to reach out to me to get the link? Do you want them to reach out to you to get the link? How do you want to do that?
Okay, so they can go to my website, which is literally myname.com, jamesyaw.com. So thrilled when that domain name was available. And all of my recent films are there, plus trailers for upcoming stuff. I do a lot of work with the ASU Film School, so there's a lot of student films on there that are just so much fun.
Oh, very cool. I love student films. That's where people just go all out with whatever creativity because there's no holds bar.
Exactly. And they're going for a grade.
Right.
So it matters to them. And I've worked on some of the most professional sets with the ASU Film School because they care. They want it to be good. And I love it. There's a film on my website called Needles. And I play the father of a drug addicted kid. And it's an ASU film project, and oh my God, such a powerful film. Just, God, it's good. It's such a good film. I was so proud to be part of that.
Oh, excellent. And that's on your website so people can view that, correct, you said?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
Very cool.
And of course, I will provide you with the link to the short, so to Falling from the Straight and Narrow, so you can push that on your socials if you don't mind.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Get people to get some more clicks on that. That's what it's all about.
Yes, it's all about the clicks. James, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much for doing what you do.
Pride lives here.
Have you ever ordered a harness online only to realize when you get it that it's basically a rubber band with a dream? Yeah, we've all been there. Are you ready to turn heads? Your new favorite harness or accessory is right at your fingertips. At strapupcustomgear.com, you're in control. Think of it as the Build-A-Bear of fetish wear, only sweatier, sexier, and way more fun. You pick the style of harness or accessory, the colors, patterns, and the hardware. You can make it subtle, make it loud, make it you. Every harness is handmade to your specifications, fully adjustable, animal-free, and pool-safe, because you deserve gear that can keep up in and out of the spotlight, the pool, or the bedroom. With inclusive sizing from extra small all the way to 6X, we've got you covered with countless options that pop harder than your ex's jealousy. Whether you're serving looks at Pride, dancing in the club, or just doing laundry in full fantasy, you deserve better than a cookie-cutter harness. So it's time for you to build a baddie, not a basic. Handmade in Denver. Follow us on Insta at Strap Up Custom Gear and shop now at strapupcustomgear.com.
Huzzah! Welcome to All Queer Shakespeare, the world's first all LGBTQIA+ Shakespearean theater company. Tickets are on sale for our latest show. Check us out at allqueershakespeare.com. It's a gay old time.
Another reason we love this community.
Before we wrap things up, we want to take a real moment to say thank you. Thank you to our guest today, James Yaw. Thank you to every single one of our guests who joined us during this inaugural year. You trusted us with your stories. You trusted us with your work, with your voices. And this first year of the Gay PHX podcast, it wouldn't exist without you. Thank you to Amanda, the tax person, for keeping creatives and small businesses steady while we build big ideas. Thank you to Dave with Team Friendly and Jesse with the Queer Center for always showing up for community. Thank you to Jim and Don for creating grit and giving us a place to connect, play, and hang together. Thank you to the pups, including the Amory Pack, for the joy, visibility, and chosen family energy that you bring. And you can find pup-related events and community information at amorypack.com. Thank you to Lookout News for keeping our community informed and connected. Independent queer journalism really matters. And on a deeply personal note, thank you to this community for supporting me through the heart attack and my recovery. Your messages, your patience, that love meant more than I can ever fully express. And finally, thank you to my loving husband for believing in this wild, beautiful idea and supporting me every step of the way. I truly couldn't do this without him. And we couldn't do any of this without you. So thank you for riding along with us on this crazy journey called Gay PHX. We hope you're learning a little, connecting a little, and being entertained a little. We'll see you next week, and we're getting ready to ring in a whole new year. Onward in the new year, one of our big goals is wrapping up the station scheduler and continuing to build smart, stronger systems. And we're also continuing to work with different parts of our community to bring some really fun things your way in 2026. We hope you'll stick around to learn with us, to join us on these adventures ahead. We'll see you next week, and we'll see you on the street. The sun is bright and there's nowhere
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.
Ho, 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 ho. Santa appears at your door, buff and hairy, everything you adore. He's got that sparkle, he's got that glow, lifts you up and whispers, ready, let's go. Ho, 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 Santa's ready to go. Jingle bells in the moonlit snow. Ho, 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 Santa's ready to sleigh. Feels like magic on Christmas Day. On the bed, the lights turn low. Red velvet jacket, muscles on show.
On Christmas Day.